Morse code is being used for phishing attacks, Signal responds to their ban in Iran, and Chrome has a zero-day vulnerability. All that coming up now on ThreatWire. Greetings! I am Shannon Morse, and this is ThreatWire for February 9th, 2021. This is your summary of the threats to our security, privacy, and internet freedom. Real quick, there is a limited time offer happening over on my Patreon page right now to celebrate a couple of new perk levels that I just published. So check out all the new perks and all the new features, all the new content, everything that you get access to over at patreon.com/threatwire. That is how this show is supported, so thank you so much to my patrons. And now on to the news. Props to Dan on our Patreon Discord for sending this story my way. Attackers are using Morse code. See, that's why I wanted to include it, because it's Morse code, as a way to hide malicious URLs within email attachments. This allows the attacker to bypass phishing filters, and the first samples appear to have been uploaded to VirusTotal on February 2nd of this year. So this is a new attack. The attacker sends an email that's purported to be an invoice, for example. It includes an attachment in HTML, which has a naming convention to make it look kind of like an Excel spreadsheet. If a user views this attachment in a text editor, they would notice that there's a bunch of JavaScript with letters translated to Morse code, so there are both dots and dashes listed. The JavaScript calls a function called decode Morse, which will turn it into a hexadecimal string, and this string is then decoded into JavaScript tags and injected into the HTML page that was attached to the email. This creates a fake Excel sheet, which requests for the user to sign into their Office 365 account in order to view it. If a user enters their password, those credentials are then sent to a remote server in the attacker's control. It's a very, very highly targeted attack. So if a user received one of these, they would likely see their company's logo on the login page for the spreadsheet. It is being targeted at insurance companies, asset management, and financial services in European countries. Morse code was originally invented in 1838 by Samuel Morse and Alfred Vail, and it's still used to this day. While it's normally used for communications, emergencies, or by ham hobbyists like myself, this is the first time it has been used by an attacker as an obfuscation technique for phishing attacks, according to Bleeping Computer. If you see some kind of very fishy email about opening an HTML attachment, be kind of skeptical of its origin, as it could be a scheme kind of like this one. Now, as a reminder again, I did just do that huge update to the ThreatWire Patreon page. There are a couple of new perk levels, limited time only, so you can definitely get a discount if you want one. And there are also some new perks for existing members and a special offer for that discounted annual memberships. Also, I wanted to give a shout out to Railway Hacker and Tex and Jerry L for joining the ThreatWire Alliance, and as always, for supporting the show. Thank you to each and every one of you. The communications and messenger app Signal has been in the news a lot lately due to a surge in new subscribers. I also recommend you use it. It's a great app, but also because of censorship by the Iranian government. According to public posts on Signal's blog, Iranian censors have started blocking Signal traffic within that country. Users had begun to report outages whenever they tried to send communications through the end-to-end encryption app. Now, it appears the block happened because the Iranian government started noticing a spike in Signal traffic after many folks moved to their platform in response to WhatsApp's new policy, which was expected to go into effect this month, but it has been delayed. The government called Signal, and I quote, criminal content, and that the content would be, quote, removed by the order of the Criminal Content Designation Task Force. There has been no comment other than that from the Iranian Republic officials. Signal stated they would make an update available within a few days, which would give folks in Iran the ability to use their service again. Signal recommended users use a TLS proxy that can bypass the network block and will still securely route traffic to the Signal service. Using a TLS RDS proxy is a legitimate way to send data securely, and in this case, it would be very easy to set up, as a user would just need to get the link to Signal's proxy. If someone wanted to set up their own Signal proxy, the blog post also included a tutorial on doing so. A proxy operator would not be able to see any traffic since the data is still end-to-end encrypted. Later articles were published saying that there was a vulnerability in this workaround, but the story has been disputed and received conflicting reports. Signal founder Moxie Marlinspike also refuted the claims on Twitter. Anyone can help by running their own proxy, and to do so they would need a server with ports 80 and 443 available, as well as a domain name that points to the server's IP address. They would then need to SSH into their server, install a few repos, clone the Signal TLS proxy repository, and configure a Let's Encrypt certificate for TLS. Launching the proxy is done through Docker Compose, and the proxy owner could then share their proxy with anyone that they wanted to. Proxy information can be set manually within Signal, or a user could simply click a signal.tube link from a trusted friend or family member within another application to allow Signal to automatically configure the proxy support for them. All of the command line interface commands are included in their blog, and it's a very, very simple process. Just a few apt-gets, apt-installs, and that's about it. Signal has also started a hashtag. It's hashtag IRanASignalProxy to get the word out, but they did recommend not publicly posting the proxy signal.tube link, since that could be added to a blacklist of IPs by the Iranian government. Before I get started on story number three, I wanted to say a big shout out to my Hush Puppy perk level patrons for sharing their fur baby photos and for the support. If you use Google Chrome, go ahead and update right now. Just do it. Just restart the browser. Come back to YouTube. I will wait, because a zero-day vulnerability is actively being exploited in the wild. This flaw, tracked with CVE-2021-21148, affects Google's V8 open source web engine and is caused by a heap buffer overflow, but a patch has already been issued and will be rolling out to users over the next few weeks. V8 is a WebAssembly and JavaScript engine which was developed by the Chromium project for both Chrome and Chromium browsers. The newest version, which is 88.0.4324.150, is available for Windows, Mac, and Linux, and it does fix this flaw. Now, Google posted a security update on the 4th, which stated that Google is aware of reports that an exploit for this CVE-2021-21148 exists in the wild. Not much else is known about this flaw other than that it's a heap buffer overflow issue, which is pretty common, and that it was reported to Google on January 24th by Matthias Buhlens. Now, it's not completely clear if this is linked to another report from Google's security team about how North Korean hackers are targeting security researchers, because that report came 2 days later on the 26th. And then on the 28th, Microsoft stated attackers probably used a Chrome zero day. So it all sounds like it's linked together, but it's not confirmed. Another vulnerability was found by a Croatian security researcher who discovered that the Google Chrome Sync feature could be used to infect browsers with a malicious extension. It could steal data and it could bypass traditional firewalls. Now, while Chrome Sync is a very handy tool to sync data like bookmarks, browser history, and extensions across all of your devices where you sign in, it apparently can also be exploited. The researcher discovered that Sync was being misused by a malicious extension, which was conversing with a CNC server, exfiltrating the data as it went. Since this stems from an extension, the security researcher recommends that companies block or control what extensions can be installed. Users should also be very wary of what kind of extensions they use, especially if it's, in this case, posing as a security add-on for Forcepoint Security. Lastly, Google also removed an extension from their Chrome Web Store because it started showing signs of having malicious code that could track users and manipulate web requests. The extension is the Great Suspender, which was fine up until June of last year when it was sold by the developer. This one was popular. It had over 2 million downloads, so it took a lot of users by surprise. One easy way to check for security issues within Chrome is to run a safety check from time to time time within your Chrome browser. To do so, all you have to do is head over to Chrome:// settings/safety check, and then click on Safety Check. This will check for all sorts of harmful extensions, check that safe browsing is enabled, check your passwords if you do save passwords in your browser to see if they have been involved in data breaches, and it can also check for updates to Chrome. Do you want to see more videos from me, just like this one, and also other security and privacy videos? Check out my YouTube channel. It's youtube.com/ShannonMorse. And with that, do not forget to like and subscribe. I'm Shannon Morse, and I will see you on the internet. Yeah.